Welcome to Down the Yellow Brick Pod. Today, your broomstick over the rainbow to your coven of compass witches. We are your co-hosts, MK
and Tara, and this is our Good Witches of the Concrete Jungle and Beyond series, chatting with our neighborhood practitioners in our regular series, and now extending to those who have transformed into green girlies, the girl in the mirror, and even the ones who come and go by bubble.
So come out, wherever you are, and be swept away to the land of good witches and bad.
Thank you for being here, witches.
Julia Murney appeared on Broadway as Elphaba in Wicked, after playing the role on the national tour, for which she received an Acclaim Award. Other New York credits include Lennon, The Wild Party, Drama Desk nomination, Between the Lines, The Vagina Monologues, Falling, Drama Desk nomination, Crimes of the Heart, A Class Act, Baby, and Time and Again, Lucille Lortel nomination. Symphony appearances have ranged from Carnegie Hall to the Kennedy Center, Caramore to Town Hall, from Malaysia to Maui, and a lot of spots in between. Among her TV credits are Madam Secretary, 30 Rock, Sex and the City, Succession, Brothers and Sisters, All the Law and Orders, First You Dream, and about a gazillion voiceovers. Films, Big Time Adolescence, Not Okay, First One In, The Report. A Syracuse University graduate, recordings include the original cast albums of The Wild Party and A Class Act, Hair, Grammy nomination, Baby, 40th anniversary, Between the Lines, and her first solo album, I'm Not Waiting, which is available on iTunes. Instagram, at Peppa Mama.
Listeners, welcome back to Down the YBP's Good Witch of the Concrete Jungle series. So today's guest has been actually in my phone since I was 19. I'll tell you about this in a second. We'll get to it. But this guest is a Sent Men pod term golden age Elphaba of Wicked's first 5 years. I freaking love that. A Broadway lighthouse of a leading lady with a unicorn voice that I specifically, Tara Tagliaferro, has looked up to since I discovered theater was something I wanted to do. You've always been like a leading lady light on my path. I've had the privilege to see you in Lennon on Broadway, which I loved. I was like in the second row and you looked at me at a song and I thought I died. So like truly, like I've just felt connected to you for so long. I saw you do some press events as a teen. My family had a rule though. We like never repeated shows. We didn't go back to see it. What I would have given though to gone back to see your Elphaba, because I saw so many like different like Broadway and Broadway and I was like, oh my God, she's so amazing. What I would have given. But I haven't even said who this is. So without further ado, we have today Julia Murney, who I also met for the first time at my campus in Montclair State. And that's how you're in my phone, Julia. But welcome, Julia, to Down the YBP.
So much information. My goodness. I could barely absorb all of that. So you're the one who saw Lennon. So that's great. I knew somebody had seen it.
I love it.
Yeah. It's about 25 of you, and there it is.
It was awesome. I had a poster on my wall.
Like, oh, my gosh.
In, like, next to Bombay Dreams, if that gives you any idea of the teenager.
Wow. That tells
Flops are us. Fantastic.
I love them, though. Like, I just was always, like, anytime I was in a Broadway house, I was like, I'm happy. Yeah. Like, there was no, like, anything.
Where are you from?
I loved Lennon. Jersey.
Where are you?
Not far.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't far to come over and, yeah.
No, and then
she
I flew across the country for all these shows. I went to Montclair State, and I actually had to voice memo a dear friend of mine who I graduated with to be like, remember when we were Julia Murney's chauffeurs at this, like, we had to pick her up from NJ Transit and take her to my, to like this reading, I think you did. And I was like, didn't she sing something about like toy balloons? And he was like, no, Tara, her solo was four engines, four. And I was like, oh my God. I like would have forgotten all of this, but my friend really brought it back. But we used to sing that line you sang.
I have forgotten. I don't even know.
I don't know what it was called. But what you sang four about. Engines. You sang four engines, and we thought it was the most beautiful thing we've ever heard. It was for Scott Richards. Scott Richards at Montclair State University had like Chuck Cooper was there.
My God, my darling. Speaking of Lennon.
I like can't remember more. I think there was someone else too that
fever
was like.
Dream.
It's truly a fever dream.
I actually subtaught at Montclair State this past spring.
Oh my gosh!
Because my friend
Welcome
Peter
back.
Is my friend Peter is one of the professors there now, and he took a leave to go do something, and so I had gone once before when he started there. To do a master class or a Q&A or something.
But you did a reading too.
This Montclair visit is a mystery to my brain. How nice.
I love that.
This is how you're in my phone. They gave me your number. They're like, you're picking her up. And I was like,
you picked me up.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I saw her in Lennon. Like, I was like, it was a moment, but like that was like probably my first like hands-on two interaction with someone who was working on Broadway. Like that was a big moment.
That's
so
cool.
Hi Julia, welcome.
Good memories.
So I got to re-meet you, I guess, outside of the Gershwin's women's bathroom just a few days ago at the Wicked 20th anniversary performance. I mean,
so special.
What an event. So we wanted to start here because this is just an incredible thing that has happened, and like not many Broadway shows get to ever really experience something like Wicked has cemented into the Broadway landscape. So what was it like for you, Julia, to start here with being back at the Gershwin in a coven of Oz witches? What was that like as someone who lived Elphaba, who got to tell that story? That's I can't imagine.
I will tell you honestly that the notion of the evening was actually rather anxiety inducing for, I'm not speaking for everyone. I cannot speak for everyone, but I am speaking, I know for a fact, for at least myself and 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm going through the witches that I have conversations with on text before the evening.
I get this.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 7 other witches, at least. And by no means is that close to the breadth of witches. Just because it's such because it's such a heightened experience. And I think I'm pretty sure that the anxiety would be made of different ingredients, we'll say, for some of the younger women who've done it more recently versus some of the elder witches who were dealing with something that happened a very long time ago, but not a very long time ago. Like, I mean, like you brought this up, like Lennon happened even longer ago than Wicked did for me. But, I've revisited Lennon once. We did like a concert version of it once and put one of those songs on my album, and that's it. And beyond obviously just like John Lennon's music in one's life, but the show itself, I have friends from the show, but Wicked, because of what Wicked is, has remained this sort of constant thing in the lives of the elder witches for all of these years.
Yeah.
And it's wild and weird. And so many of us, like I did not bring a plus one. And my dates were Shoshana and Eden, who also did not bring plus ones. We just were each other's plus ones. Mm-hmm. We came together. And it's so funny. I was just thinking about this as I was hooking up. I'm sorry that we did not get a picture of this because I was so happily surprised that Anna Gasteyer was there. I didn't know she'd be there or not. And with her there, we did. I wish we had a picture because we did, going down. Shoshana was like, "Wait, what are we? Are we 1, 2, 3? Like, what's?" And we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We were all there.
Oh, that's crazy.
But yeah, so like, whatever the weird anxiety was, once we got there, it was like the craziest, bougiest high school reunion ever. And you couldn't walk, you know, you couldn't swivel your body three quarters of the way without seeing someone else you haven't seen in so long. And what, like the rush in your heart when you see this person that you just happen to not be in contact with, but you are, have such overwhelmingly beautiful feelings for. And I mean, that happened over and over and over and over again, even just on the carpet. And were you guys down on the carpet? Were you, did you, were you?
No, we were outside the carpet.
Yes, we okay, took in the carpet, but I actually felt overwhelmed by that. Like, I was like, let's go inside.
It was definitely overwhelming. It was, I mean, the press people for Wicked were kind of, you know, whatever, you know, running it. But it wasn't, not, this was not their fault whatsoever, but it was not being run like sort of most red carpets. You wait. Then it's, they say, Julia, come on up. And you go up and you, depending on the length of the, whatever, and you like move down and you say hello and they say, would you like to do an interview or would you speak to? And then you do an interview, you do an interview, and then you move on. You, there is a movement to it because there are people behind you, you know, and whatever. They tried with this, but the problem was we kept thwarting them because we would get like, whatever, several steps down the carpet, turn around and see somebody else walking out of the carpet, and then you're walking back to that person, thus screwing up every plan that has been laid down. And I saw I can't remember now what the who was interviewing her, but someone is interviewing Adina, and I am fully like right behind her, taking selfies with Shoshana. Just ruining the frame.
I mean, no, and that's actually appropriate.
I kind of love it.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't know we were there. She wasn't distracted. She was giving the proper answer. But I'm just like, whoever, I can't remember who it was,
selfies.
It must have, if they were like, oh, Jesus, get out of the frame, girl. But
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, so that part was bonkers as you felt because you were sort of privy to it. And then going into the theater, we went upstairs and this was insane. When we show and Eden and I, when we walked into like the theater proper, because the sort of the, it seemed at least, I couldn't entirely tell, but it seemed like the lower orchestra was all former cast members, their people, press, people, in everybody involved with the production. And then from like back of the orchestra and up, it generally seemed like were Wicked adjacent people, fans, whatever. So, but all I know is that we walked into the theater proper and the back part of the orchestra that was right to sort of our right as we walked in, all started applauding like Hillary Clinton was arriving.
That's correct.
And we were like, what's happening? And so you can imagine what happened 35 seconds later when Adina and Kristen walked in behind us and, you know, all of that. And
giving people heart attacks.
Yeah. It was so interesting to me. This is such a like weird sidebar, but like Kristen had green in her dress. Adina was very consciously wearing green and pink. I had, you can't see, you can see my nails. Yeah.
Oh
so
yeah.
My nails were pink. My outfit was green. My shoes were specifically
Talk about those shoes?
Those shoes,
that was amazing.
Iconic
we got it.
Moment.
We got what you were going for.
Thank you. I appreciate your going for that.
Nice.
Here's the God's honest truth. I wanted to be comfortable.
Correct.
I knew it was going to be a long evening. And post pandemic, my feet in heels are like, ma'am, no, thank you. I was like, well, I'm wearing this jumpsuit and it's long. I could probably get away with sneakers. What could I do? Oh, and for those who don't know, and if you're listening to this podcast, I can't imagine you wouldn't know, but whatever.
Yes,
it's a moment.
For those who don't know, the night before Adina's last performance on Broadway, there was an accident right toward the end of the show. They had to stop the show. She'd been taken to the hospital. She could not do her last show the next day. Shoshana went on for her. And at the end of what would have been her last show, I guess it was in curtain call, came out wearing this red Adidas tracksuit.
Which probably sold out.
So many photographs of that because it was so dramatic. I mean, talk about high drama. It would have been high drama on any night, but the fact that it all happened the night before she was supposed to leave and all of that. Yeah. So I wore my red Adidas. I bought them for the show.
I'm so embarrassed.
But I had my eye on them anyway. And I was like, oh hell, that's what I'm doing. So yes, that was my homage to my friend who is the OG.
I love that. And you're comfortable. So it all worked out.
But my point is, it was so lovely how like people, like it wasn't like a team Elphaba, team Glinda situation.
No,
it was
no.
And then we got to watch the show, which was Eden and Sho and I got very emotional as the show began. And I think it was a muscle memory emotion, because that music starts and you go, oh, I'm in that dressing room. I'm over there. They're just finishing dressing me. Like you're not like standing in the wing at baton drop. I mean, it's down to such a science, and I'm sure the science has shifted since I did it, but when we did it, that's what it was. And you're like, yeah. And that now, like for me, now I'm stretching. Now I'm walking.
Wow.
Oh, she's going to come through that door. And that thing of, for your own internal memory bank of, and there were nights when you were making that walk, which is a relatively short walk from the dressing room to behind the flat that opens up for you to enter. Sometimes it's just made of, whatever, I'm going to places. And sometimes it is made of, well, we're about to find out what I've got tonight. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what it is. And that's a very, it's one thing to have that happen like once. It happens all the time with this show and this particular role. And so we were very emotional, and we like leapt to our feet when Alyssa finished Wizard and I, and we felt like we could kind of be, to use a terrible phrase, like idiot audience members on this particular evening.
Of course.
Like it felt 100%. Like this was all right. And and it was so, and I've seen the show since I left a few times. I mean, I saw the 10th, I saw the second act of the 10th anniversary, because I was doing I was doing a show and I couldn't get there till then.
I love that.
So I saw act two, I think it was Lindsay Mendez.
Yes.
I saw Mandy Gonzalez, because we were friends from where, Tara, where were we friends from? Lennon. And, and so I got to see her. And the last time I saw it, actually, I saw Jessica Voss do it on tour. And then I went to see her do it on Broadway. And I asked, and I sat in the pit, in the orchestra pit.
Oh,
which
that's cool.
I've never done before. And that was my request, because I was like, I love you and I love this show. Guess what I don't need to see ever again? This show. And that's no slag on the show. I'm, whatever. But to sit in the pit was a whole other thrilling moment. That was really, really cool. I don't remember it. I don't, we were actually saying, my dates and I were saying after the show that it was funny because beforehand we were like, I don't remember this show. I don't remember. We've all had to sing Defying Gravity a million times, but in general, and for good, but in general, but as you're watching the show, you're just sort of like, yep, yep. And then there were a few times where something happened and suddenly we were in a conference because we're like, did we do that? I don't think we crossed left. Did we cross left?
Round table.
We had a full round table, row five, right there. Row five on the aisle, just stop discussing whether or not in our day we entered from up above to come down to like, because there were some changes that got implemented.
Yes.
And it was just, and I will say the only, it was such a great time to sit there and have that experience. I mean, God bless those women, the witches, to have to do that in front of that crowd.
I don't know.
That's what I was thinking about.
Is kind of intense.
This is the Avengers of Wicked.
I would assume that it helped that the crowd was out of its mind.
Out of its mind.
Love.
I have never sat in an audience like that.
Yeah.
You know, just with that sort of madness going on.
Yeah.
And I hope that everyone felt like everyone on stage felt, you know, the support and the love and the everything.
Had to feel wild.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a lot. That's like, that's something you got to like breathe down and be like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I assume at least that they knew that we were not there to be like, I have some notes for you. You're like, we were just there to love and be.
Yeah.
And frankly, to be perfectly
like
honest, again, bunch of elder witches sitting there having their own experience that had to do with our own feelings and whatever. The only traumatic part of the performance was that, so I had COVID a few weeks ago, and my lasting gift from COVID has been this bronchitis that has decided that it lives in me now. It moved in, it gets fresh direct. I don't know what to do about it. I can't get rid of it. And so I had with me easily like 7 or 8 already unwrapped lozenges in my bag.
Ready to go.
I was ready. And obviously I know the show well enough to know. I know when the laugh lines will be. I know when the applause will be.
Yeah.
I knew when my moments to go, you know, we're going to kick in. Here's what I forgot. At the end of Wicked, there is a long sequence of serious, drama, serious, and quiet.
Oof.
And Kiamo Ko, which I think is what we call that scene, is what since that just flew out of my mouth, I think that has to be right, even though I'm not sure. The final scene has a few little laugh lines at the top, and I did a little, clear cough. And then there's nothing. And it's dramatic.
No.
And these women are up there working their tails off. And For Good begins.
Oh.
And I had to have a massive coughing jag. I knew that's what it was. I knew it was not a cough. I knew it was over and over.
Sorry. It's the
and
worst.
I'm sitting there and I'm like,
there.
What do I do? I am in the 5th row. These women are at the ultimate end of their show. They've been so wonderful. They're 100% going to hear me because I know what this cough sounds like. I'm going to disturb them. I'm going to disturb everyone around me during what is potentially the most famous song in this iconic show.
Oh my gosh.
I could walk out, which means I'm going to walk up all the way back up the aisle because I'm way down toward the front. Right toward all of those people who applauded when we walked in. They're not going to know why. They're going to be like, why is that elder witch walking out? Like drama, all
New York
that chat,
Times.
Bullshit,
yeah,
like whatever.
Ooh, can elder
curse,
witch. Yes, you can curse. Yes.
Okay. But like, I was like, that doesn't seem like an option either. If someone had looked at me during that number, they may have thought that I was having a deep emotional reaction.
Correct.
Because when I tell you, I didn't see a moment of the number. My eyes were shut. There were tears streaming down my face. I folded up into a little origami ball. Shoshana knew what was happening and she was digging her nails into my leg to try and like distract me. I had lozenges in my mouth. Then I feared at one point that I was, fun fact, For Good is not a short song.
No, it's epically
long. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Jesus.
We've got metaphors, baby.
They're not even at the harmony yet.
And I thought I might choke on a lozenge at one point.
Oh,
I thought I might pass out at one point. It was
I don't like
that. Awful. That was high trauma for me. But I was so hell-bent on not disturbing those women in their moment and
That's
the people around
witch.
Me having their moment. Ooh, I mean, we and see then people sacrifice. Have been like, she was trying to be dramatic, you know, and like trying to get attention.
All the interpretations that could have been had. I've definitely been there, not in that dramatic of a way, but I have been like in my sweater doing everything possible
the piece.
Not to disturb the piece.
Yeah. So that was the only trauma of the evening.
Okay.
That
was the only trauma. Okay.
And then afterwards, when the show was done, when I stepped out of the theater, there were tons of people there. I don't know if they were at the show or if they were just fans like waiting like post because they knew it was going to be the 20th, whatever. And they wanted like selfies and signing and stuff. It was fine. It was wonderful. But, you know, it was a thing. It was a thing. And then they threw us a great party and,
so fun.
Which unfortunately was so, overwhelming because the space was really big. Obviously there was music, the food was excellent. It was all like great, with the exception of Kara Lindsay and I were texting the next day because we did not see each other.
Oh no.
And that happened to us though. With people we knew at the theater.
Like I saw her husband truly for a millisecond. And then like we got whisked away from each other. I didn't see Kara at all. And I said to her, I feel like I wish parties like that could have like breakout rooms.
Where, like Zoom.
Like I could I could catch Kara's eye and be like, meet me in room C in 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
And
or like Love is Blind.
Love is Blind.
And it'd be like there'd be a little mini bar and a couch. Alcove. You could be comfy.
Yes.
And you could have a proper catch up. Because there was barely anyone that it's I so had any kind of like intense conversation with at that party. The only person I actually had a conversation with at that party of all people was Lin-Manuel.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Love that.
And because Alex Lacamoire who brought him.
Yes, yes.
And Alex, but even in the middle of that conversation, it was Lin and Alex. And in the middle of that conversation, Alex got pulled away by somebody. Like,
of course.
And spun off.
Yeah, I can't imagine how many people were trying to pull at everybody.
Yeah.
Like, we were witnessing that happening in the lobby. You were the only person we went up to because we were like, let's introduce ourselves. We're meeting her in a couple days. Like, that feels right. But I was like, I want to give people space because, like, I know that these things are overwhelming. And when I'm overwhelmed, I can't receive.
To be fair, that kind of weird overwhelm is something – This sounds gross. I don't mean this the way it's about to sound. Like, I understand that weird overwhelm. I know how to kind of be prepped for it. Does that make sense?
No, that makes complete sense.
Like, I don't mean to say like people come up to me all the time. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say in a situation, I did not expect people to applaud when we walked into the theater, but like I knew there were going to be people. I was quite sure that I would be hearing more than once, you were my first Elphaba on Monday night. Like that
love
is a
that.
Thing. And so it was fun. Like I did not mind a single person who came up and said anything. This was not me attending the theater and trying to have a private experience of some sort. And honestly, like I'm going to see a show tonight. If somebody came up to me tonight and happened to say something, I wouldn't be bothered by it. But I knew the deal was going to be with that particular thing. Like, of course. Yeah. So it wasn't, it was fine. It was great. It was lovely.
Was there anyone from the Wicked family or a cast member that you got to meet for the first time? That stands out?
Yes, Derek. I met Derek for the first time, who was like the second Fiero.
Derek Williams?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be on the pod.
You love Derek.
Oh my God.
I also love Derek.
Yeah. It was so funny. So we're walking out. Eden is in front of me. And then Derek is in front of her. And some of the show is like over and it's sort of whatever. And then somebody was over here. And I turned to them when we were talking and I kind of out of my ear heard him say, I knew who he was, but like he was a whole like other person removed from me in the moment. But I heard him say to Eden, is that Julia Murney? And I turned and I looked and I went, Derek? And he's like, yes. And we hugged, like, he's the, there might have been other people, but he was the one. Like, I had from so long, for like, you know, one of the OGs, and I had never met him. And he's so lovely. He's so lovely.
I love that. Tara's freaking out.
I'm no, okay. Like, oh my God. And Derek Williams are probably two of my favorite people when I was like, as a teen. Like, it's just so funny. Aww. When I went to the Wicked stage door when I was, I saw it in previews as a 16-year-old. And he talked to me and my friend for a while. Like, that, I don't know what we talked about, but he stayed and talked. I think he was a swing at the time in Wicked. And I had seen him in Aida, I think. And he was nice there. And we said that to him. And he was like, if you write to me, I'll send you a headshot.
Yes. Amazing.
And I still have it. Yes. When I messaged him, he's like, I actually sent you something. I was like, you didn't. You told me to stay sweet.
Stay sweet.
Isn't that adorable? I mean, just amazing. It really does like matter. Like, yes, of course, like I forget like all the like fine details around these moments, but they really do stay with you.
I think you remember generosity. And sometimes I think the receiver of the generosity, you might, like, you know, if you go to the street fairs, sometimes they have those sponges that are just like skinny little sponges, but you get them wet and they expand. I feel like sometimes for the receiver of generosity, it's like you get a tiny little sponge wet. It may be something so much bigger. And if you say to Derek, like, you said be sweet, and he'd be like, yeah. But to you, that sponge went, whoa, fully expanded and lived in a part of you. And that, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, long story, but I went to a filming of the TV show Happy Days, which was a big sitcom when I was a kid. And Henry Winkler, I had brought a little book to get people's autograph, but I didn't ask anybody because I was just too shy. And he was like the last person and the most famous person, honestly, like in the show. And I was being brought around because my dad's best friend was a guest star in the show. So that's why I got to meet everybody. And, it was very cool. And Henry Winkler said, would you like me to sign that book? And I was like, yes. And I remember he wrote, Julia, self-respect is joy. I was like 9 years old. And I remember.
Hold on to this.
First of all, that's way too deep for a 9-year-old. But second of all, is it? Because I remember it.
I was like, you remember it.
I was like, he meant for you to revisit that throughout your life.
And self-respect is joy. Frickin' Henry Winkler,
also known,
the fun.
He's known for being one of the nicest like celebrities. Like, he has that reputation.
But that generosity, I'm sure he does not remember that moment in any way, shape, or form, you know, but that generosity stays with you. And I do feel like in general, being a human being, generosity is a good thing. In terms of being a performer or someone that someone can see and be moved by in some manner, that it is part of the job to, as best you can, give of your time. That gets complicated because there are always people who will abuse that. Sometimes they know they're abusing it and they don't care. Sometimes they do not know. There are a lot of very unself-aware people who just want to be in your personal space. And I mean, I'm not famous. I am known in the subset of a subset. And I do get stopped from time to time. It is usually like in a Starbucks in Midtown, you know, in a very specific geographic space. But every once in a while, a random moment will occur like that. Now, I have good friends who are much more known and famous, if you will, than I am. And so like they're having to deal with it more often and it can be exhausting. It can be a tricky thing. I think theater folk we are better at it because of the stage door phenomenon. if you don't know where to find Jennifer Aniston right now, you know what I mean? Like if you want her autograph, but right, if Jennifer right. Aniston was in a play eight you times exactly a week, you would know pretty close to where she was.
She's got to get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
she's
got to
get out of there.
Very true.
So, but I mean, it is very touching to me when someone says, "You were so nice to me at that stage door," or
thank
whatever.
You, past self. Yeah,
you know, the thank you, Henry Winkler. You know, like I yeah.
Oh, I mean, I never love that story.
Yeah,
I have a question though for you. Has anyone come up to you in a Starbucks and said, "I loved your work in the Wizard of Oz Dreams Come True concert, circa 1995 at Lincoln Center
with Jewel,
how
with Jewel and Nathan Lane?"
How dare you?
Oh,
Julia, you don't understand.
Dive.
We talk about this a lot.
Julia, we see you.
Like,
my God.
Oh, yeah. Wait, hold on.
Wait,
Julia,
get ready.
Oh, it's wait. Wait.
Listeners, we'll put it on.
I see Jackson Brown. Yep. I see Jackson Brown.
That's Jewel. We've got Natalie.
There's
Cole.
Julia Murney.
Yeah, it's missing you.
Yeah, and like a
isn't
random girl in a red dress. What?
Red.
No, I knew. I was
you
like, she's
right.
in a glitter dress or a jewel tone dress. I'm not
oh,
sure.
Oh no, they
I had
brought
to, like,
in.
At it.
No, they dressed us in the. If you look, the adult choir,
like the
women,
rainbow.
All,
yeah.
Yes. They just
yeah,
brought in,
that.
And basically,
smart.
It came. It came down to who fit into what. And that was the color you wore.
It, that's
it
amazing.
Wasn't
I love that.
Anything but that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, that is.
We okay,
we're
so
obsessed.
I
we had a whole
Julia
episode
Murney.
About it.
We did a whole for episode yeah. on the production,
whoa.
So we know the history. Whoa,
oh,
you just had balloons
a,
fly.
Oh, this is
wait,
a,
what?
This
how
is
did that
this is a new Zoom
it?
Thing. Wait, watch this.
Oh.
Watch.
What?
Julia,
we're learning. Things.
She's doing Zencaster witchcraft.
I thought I hallucinated the first time. I was like,
"Is it working for me?"
No,
for some
no.
reason.
She's a witch.
You're a witch. No one's ever done that.
The thing is, I only noticed it a few Zooms ago, but I don't. The only one I know to make happen is the heart. The other things, like
the other things, just happen.
I don't know how to make them up.
There you go. She's making listeners. She's making balloons pop. Like,
but we're not even on Zoom.
We're not on Zoom. We're
I don't
on Zencaster.
Even understand.
She's making balloons come into the frame and hearts, and
so
just with her hands.
All
so witch.
Here's what's crazy. All of that was happening for me on Zooms, and we're not on Zoom. So what is making that
Zoom.
Happen?
I don't know.
But
you.
I didn't push a button on my computer to make this be so. It just started. It's because I'm a witch. It's become
yeah, it's because you're a witch. I'm just gonna.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
A witch who
it.
Began.
I truly was.
I
like,
feel
I'm
really
began
bad for the
Oz
listeners.
The
listeners are like, "What?
No, they're
I believe
they're
us. Fine. They're fine.
We have." A
but
mind.
I also want the listeners to understand that what is being referred to here. Is in, I don't know what year, 1995.
Five.
God
95.
Dang it. How dare you even pull out 95? So in 1995,
we got you.
There was a concert version of The Wizard of Oz done as a fundraiser for, I want to say, the Children's Defense Fund.
Yeah.
It was
yes.
done at Lincoln Center. Mm-hmm. It was this all-star concert. Jewel played Dorothy. And I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, it was like right before she became a big star.
Huge.
She yeah. was, yeah. obviously they knew, I don't know how they found her, but they found her. She was yeah. Dorothy. Jackson Brown was the Scarecrow. Children, if you're listening and you don't know who these people are, just Google them. I don't have time. these are, we're talking about
the
pop
who,
legends
yes.
right now.
Yes,
top
yes, yes, yes.
legends. Roger Daltrey was the Who. Was the Who.
Yes.
Was the Tin Man.
Nathan Lane. Was the Who.
Yes. Nathan Lane was
oh,
the Lion.
So Nathan Lane. Oh,
Natalie
giants.
Cole
yeah.
was Glinda the Good. I mean, it was
wild.
It was so random. It was such a randomly put yeah. together concert.
That's and, why I love it.
It's messy. But the there's
the
an adult choir, like a 12-person or something adult choir. The Boys Choir of Harlem played the
so
Munchkins.
Cute.
Yeah.
Which
so
was
good.
And,
perfect.
And then the adult choir were maybe 12 or so people. And the women were definitely dressed in different colors of the rainbow off of a rack. And who fit
red.
In what dress is what they wore. And I was there and I fit in red. And
yay.
And only because you know about this thing. This oh, and it was broadcast.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I grew up on it.
It was broadcast on like TNT, and then they started showing it every year for a while.
They said, keep it going. Keep it going.
Yes. Do you own it?
Yes.
Like, amazing.
Yeah.
It's probably on YouTube.
YouTube, definitely.
It's on YouTube. Someone uploaded I don't know how you do this. This is like a witchcraft. I don't understand. They took the VHS tape and put it onto YouTube.
I'm not sure
if it came out on DVD ever. There was a VHS tape. We would take it out from the library. And then I think we bought it from the library, or we took it from the library. You know how like when libraries would get rid of things?
Right.
That's how I got a lot of my cast albums. I think I took their copy, and like the Twin Towers were on the cover. Like I loved the New York City landscape. The New York City landscape was used as the Emerald City.
Wow.
Which like good that's gravy. What New York felt for me. So like it was one of those where I was like, also I grew up in a time where so much Oz was happening. Like that concert, Wizard of Oz and Ice, MSG production. There was just like so much Oz that I thought the whole world was obsessed with it. Like
the world is obsessed with it. I mean, why do you think we just celebrated the 20th anniversary of Wicked?
Right.
It is so it was interesting because I was curious how the show was going to do in London or elsewhere, because I don't know if the Wizard of Oz is as, I think it's deeply iconic in the American psyche, but they obviously, they're responding just fine everywhere else.
Yeah.
I will tell you, because you know about this show, that one of my favorite memories of that concert.
Please.
Yeah.
So one of the only times anything got staged was Merry Old Land of Oz.
Joel Grey.
And Joel Grey was the wizard. That's right. And so that one was staged. So the adult choir like came down and we were sort of integrated into the staging of this number. And there's a moment in the number where it like switches who says what, but the Tin Man says ha ha, the Scarecrow says ha ha, and the Lion says ho. It's like ha 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 ho, like that,
right?
Something like that. I was staged to be standing next to Nathan, who I did not know. Let's be clear. I mean, I knew who he was, but like I was just the girl in the red dress, like done. And I do not know what possessed me to be this brave, because that wasn't really my way. But when we got up to the ha 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 and he had the ho, I smacked him on the butt like it was like a little goose. So he would go ho, and he liked it. And I did not get in trouble. And then like when we did that in rehearsal, the next day I arrived and they were running through the number and I had to come late for some reason, but they knew I was going to be late. It was fine. But I got in there halfway through the number and he stopped. He goes, oh my God, where have you been? I can't do the bit without you.
Oh, that's so cute.
And
that's like, adorable.
And understand to this day, like, I don't know Nathan Lane, but a few times over these many, many years, I have been in a concert or something where he's been and kind of sheepishly have been like, hi, I'm Julia. We met a lot. And he fully, I did that once and he went, I follow. I know who you are. And I was like, Nathan Lane, what's happening?
You're so sweet.
But yeah, so that's where that came from. There you
okay,
go.
That is an excellent backstory.
That is an excellent story. Because yeah, these one night, it was a one night.
As deep dives go, that is a deep dive. Congratulations.
I love it. I'm just curious, like, how you got involved with that. Was it like a standard
I have no idea.
Audition? Or,
I love it. No idea.
It was 1995. You weren't born yet. You want me to remember how I got involved?
Yes.
We'll let it be an imagination.
Let's talk truth for a second. You know, I don't know. I think it's possible that.
It's all good.
No, I don't know. I was going to try and scratch. I can't. It's dead. That's dead.
You're
in
good.
That
we
part
will,
of my brain.
We will imagine.
Yeah.
Well, it lives on YouTube, Julia. Yeah, we highly suggest a rewatch.
It lives on.
Congratulations
on
all of you. Yes.
So. Well, there is a rumor on the street. Can you confirm? Are you the first person to introduce Stephen Schwartz to Gregory Maguire's book? The existence of the book Wicked.
Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask Stephen, the answer is no. If you ask me, the answer is yes.
We're asking you.
I And Stephen knows that I say this, like, but so in 90 something, like actually just a little bit after probably that concert.
You're feeling the Oz.
I ended up doing this show that was all Stephen Schwartz music, like existing music put to a new book called Snapshots. And the show's kicked around for a really long time, but I was in the original production of it. That was where I met him, and he was very involved. And so it was amazing because to me, like, he wrote Pippin and I got my equity card doing Godspell. So I was Oh my gosh, it's Stephen. So we did it in Connecticut at Westport Country Playhouse. And then we went and did it in Norfolk, Virginia at, I think it's called Virginia Stage, or it was at least then. And I remember it was in Virginia. I went to a bookstore one day, and there on the, I don't know, like new and noteworthy table was this book called Wicked. And honestly, I loved the graphic on the front, and I was drawn into it, and I bought it, and I read that book, and I went bananas for that book. I loved it. And I told everybody, like, I told my cast, I told everybody, I will put cash money down that I told Stephen. Now, I didn't,
cash money.
I didn't tell Stephen, like, you should make this into
make a
musical.
Musical.
I was just like, here's this book I read. Everybody, here's this book I read.
Yeah,
and it's so fun.
Yeah.
And it's a Wizard of Oz. And we all know this. And, you know, that kind of thing.
That's fascinating.
And that was that. And I'm sure that this memory is a crisscross. It's not correct. Stephen's a big tennis player. Like, he's always been a great tennis player. And I remember there was a squash court. Do you know what squash is?
Yeah.
It's like sort of indoor tennis-ish. Not really.
Yeah, anyway.
But I remember going and – because I would go and watch him and whoever else, like a bunch of people would start playing. And I'd like to just like – I have no coordination, so I don't play those kinds of sports. But I'm like, did I tell him at the squash court? Where did I tell him? Anyway. But his story, his truth is that he was on a boat somewhere – fancy, and somebody told him about it.
Holly Near.
You know, do what you want, Holly Near. Do what you want.
I was first.
I don't know Holly Near. But
well, that's thank you for providing some clarity.
Yeah.
I love it, though. That's how things work.
That's
though.
How it works, yeah.
Like,
you
things
can't pinpoint it.
Yeah. I don't know, like, you throw some seeds around, some things don't grow right away, but that, like...
Look, and it's very possible that on that boat, on that day, that the conversation was...
You should make a musical.
Stephen, are you working on something new? Or blah, blah, blah. Or I read this book. Oh my, you know what I think would be great is this book I read. Like, maybe it was in the presentation. And of course, that's going to lodge in his brain.
Yeah.
And because he certainly didn't start writing it when in Norfolk, Virginia, I was like, hey, I read this book, you know. But yeah.
I love that though. You're part of the origin lore, which is amazing.
And now it's on the pod.
Yes.
Yeah. This is canon.
Which means it must be true.
Yeah, it must be true here. We're such big fans of your Elphaba. We watched a little bit of your Defying Gravity right before we started recording, and we were like, you can see the fear and the uncertainty and the vulnerability on your face and in your performance.
Oh, so good.
What was sort of your entryway, your portal into finding Elphaba and finding your version of Elphaba?
My entryway was the book, the scenes. I was so intimidated by the vocal that, I mean, I was up for it originally. And I don't know what, I mean, Adina and I are only, the only thing we have in common as performers is that we sing the same notes. Do you know what I mean? Like, we sing the same notes, completely different. We do.
We're
incredibly different personas.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what the score would have become had I ended up doing it. If it would have become like less pop inflected or whatever. But also, I don't know if the show would have become what it became. if I did it first. You know, like, it's not, I mean, I'm not up at night thinking about this, but like, it happened the way it happened. It unfolded the way it was supposed to unfold. So, but I went to opening night because Adina was my friend, Kristen was my friend. And so, you know, 20 years ago, I was there. And I remember at the end of Act One, I had already sung Defying Gravity. There had been a concert, this little concert, that was doing all Stephen Schwartz music. And Stephen said, you can have a song from my new show, but Julia Murney has to sing it. And that's so, cool. And that's a story in canon that's gotten a little twisted because I have had people ask me, is it true that you were the first person to sing Defying Gravity? I'm like, nope. It's probably like true that I was the first person to sing it in New York, if we're going to really parse things. But I feel in my heart, the first person to sing was Stephanie Block.
Yeah,
because Stephanie did the workshops in California. So
Liz Calloway did some stuff too, right?
Like she
did
some recording.
She also touched it just for presentations.
Yeah, I mean the first person in the realm of like Wicked and who ended up being in whatever.
What was the response? Do you remember anything about like people being like, whoa, cool. Like just out of context, Defying Gravity. Yeah.
I remember my response was, why is this so high? This is so high. Oh my God.
was it already up the ending? Because Idina did not do that originally. It used to be the, so if you care to find me.
They like didn't lower go up down yet. The octave.
Was it already up?
I do not remember.
Again, okay.
We are going back to the 90s.
We're going back decades.
We love the 90s.
Clear. We're going back.
So many good things were born for us in the 90s.
Opening night, act one finished. And I was like, yeah, better her than me. That's amazing. That's amazing. Oh my God. Whoa. No. That's for my friend to do. And so when they asked me to do it, I was immediately seized with, the women who did it subsequently to Adina were these, because it was so early, there were only, three of them, were such vocal geniuses. That I just was like, I don't do that. And that's what people want. So what do I do? And then I realized one day I was in a conversation with a friend of mine and I realized he reminded me that I was so focused on the vocal and all the magic that these women can do that I forgot that there was another door that I could walk through to get into the room, which was in the storytelling inside the scenes and hoping that driving the engine that way would allow, this was in my brain, but would allow people who were expecting vocal gymnastics to maybe forgive that because the story was still being told, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That completely 100. Makes sense. But I also find your voice to be wildly magical. So completely different sound.
But it's different. Yeah. And I revere those women as human beings, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. But I revere these women as vocal artists. And also as acting artists, I don't mean to, I'm not trying to like, whatever, but that was like the way I had to concentrate on it was that way. So that I could give myself grace. I do remember right before I left my Broadway contract, right towards the end, I finally, of all things, had a no-fly show. And I'm standing downstage, just one.
Only one.
My standby on the road.
That's pretty cool.
It happened to my standby on the road several times. And I think that was more because, the set's being traveled, there's more opportunity for something to glitch.
Something to go wrong.
Yeah.
But it never happened to me. I'm like, you know, you run all the way downstage and you sort of move your cape around as if you're flying, and it's ridiculous and definitely not as effective. But, and I was very close to the end of my time there, and I was, let's be clear, busted and trying my best to get through these shows. And somewhere in my brain, I was like, why aren't I Shoshana? She could whiff her way out of this. She would at least be able to give
Jessica
you
Mosk
like
is crazy, yeah,
something magical. And I was just like in panic mode, and I could see Kendra, my Glinda, like over stage right in her light, giggling into her shoulder at me.
Kendra,
oh, Kendra,
at me just in all kinds of like distress, but But yeah, that was my way in, and sort of in a way. I mean, it's differently written, obviously, and it's a different story. But kind of always, I liked to keep Margaret Hamilton in mind a lot.
Yes,
too. She's the best.
We love her.
And there are like also like silly, dumb actor things that I her hands, Margaret Hamilton's hands, were very iconic to me. I had a t-shirt when I was a kid, and it was a picture of her trying to take the ruby slippers off of Dorothy's feet, and the
fingers
sparks.
Are layered.
Yeah, yes, and her fingers are all like craggly, and it's just it's not a full shot. It's just a shot of the feet with the ruby slippers and her hands and the sparks coming out. So that is very indelible. That's in my brain, those hands. And
yeah.
You ready? Here's my like dumb, but whatever, it worked for me. I decided that her hands were that way because she's so anxious, and she spent so much time pushing Nessa's chair, having to take care of Nessa.
I love that.
And having to hold those handles and knowing that if she let anything happen to her sister, she would never be forgiven, nor would she forgive herself. And that the just pushing that chair.
Really blowing my mind.
That was my.
Leah, this is why we have these conversations. We started this, I think, off mic talking about like, is it like the same things that we hear? I'm like, no, usually
they're
no,
so
it's not. And that's
different.
What's really
well,
cool.
I mean, that was my, that was not an invention
I
that I was
that.
Given. I, that was my, whatever. I came up with that. But that was my
also a Glinda bubble just blew up.
Arrived.
Oh yeah, I don't. There are bubbles too. I don't know
There's
how to make
bubbles.
Them happen though.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Bubbles.
I'm dead.
I think
at
it's
this.
A thumbs up, maybe. Yeah.
It's a thumbs up, but I can't. Anyway.
You also your physicality also with like going from the hands. Also, how you worked the hair.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Like no
yes,
good
hair.
Deed, like how you would whip that hair. I'm just like, wow. And like, I do love that. Like that aspect of the no good deed, the hair just being like loose and out. And
oh, free. No good deed is it. No good deed is my favorite, hands down. That was my, I turned to show after I was like, that was my favorite. She's like, yeah.
Oh,
you know, like,
yeah,
I think partially,
yes,
we had
you're
another,
fully
like,
there. She arrived.
Yeah, we had another three witch board meeting after that number. Right there in row five. And I was saying, because she's grown, like truly has no fucks left to give. And it's like, you know what?
Yeah.
Fine. And
so be it.
To be, I very much believe that she starts as a girl and she grows into a woman.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
And that song is the embodiment of that. And
yeah,
it's thrilling.
But,
it's
yeah,
the best.
I love that song. That it makes me sad that you know you don't sing that song. No one wants to hear that song. I learned.
Oh
very
yeah,
quickly.
In context, that one is kind of the hardest, I guess. Like at like a night,
but it's so good.
At the symphony. Like it's a little
so
like oh wow.
Like, let's do no
honestly, I would say like if I had my own symphony show, I could work it in because it would be my night and I could explain to them everything.
Yeah.
But in general, when I've done symphony shows, I mean, they want to find gravity, period, end of story.
Of course.
I learned very quickly after I was done with the show, it was like I had to go to lunch with the song Define Gravity and we had to make friends because part of my body was like, nope,
like
I'm not
you're
singing
part
this.
Of me.
I'm not doing this. And I had to be like, listen, I need this job over here. I need this symphony job. So, and as much as I say to them, I'd rather do The Wizard and I, they don't care. They, and right. finally There's I keyed in on it, is what it was, what they wanted, what everybody wants, who's clamoring for it. What, they want to be brought back to the moment when they sat in the theater and they watched her fly in the air. Yeah. They want a recreation
it's
of that moment.
It's like a transcendent moment.
And that's what
Feel
it is.
That in your bones.
It's, yeah. It's not about whether Wizard and I can make more sense out of context or whatever.
No.
It's it's about defying gravity and the way you feel and those lights go out at the end of that act and the audience's heads explode and then they run to the merch counter and buy everything that's there. Like some magic alchemy.
They still do it.
But like that's what they want. They want that and the other like utterly, I mean, the magic in the bottle song is for good. I mean, I have literally sung for good for different people at a graduation, at a wedding, at a funeral.
That's right.
Like, all you have to do.
It's an over the rainbow.
Yeah.
It's
you just plug in your desired emotional release and what it's about.
And
you can plug it into forget. You could watch 100%. Wicked. You could hate Wicked. And I think most people are still deeply moved by For Good.
It's iconic.
I've spent some time listening to high school choirs sing it because it's just so cute. I mean, I sang it for my high school graduation. It was my little choir moment. Yeah.
No, that was my sitting there on Monday night. Like being in the same room as Steven who wrote it.
Yeah, like this was just
I was
cool
that was
about.
Like the pinnacle for
I have
me.
Said that to him like an idiot. I've been like, you know you wrote that. Yeah.
You wrote that song.
Like to me
that's just mind-blowing.
I will whatever else I may do in my life or career or whatever, two of the things that will astound me forever. Oh, balloons.
Balloons
because I went like this.
I did a
dear listeners.
I just made a
V with my fingers, like if you're gonna say two, and I shook it.
We cannot do any of this. None of it happens on our end.
I just
we'll
don't
have to
understand.
Figure out why.
I know.
I'm gonna research.
Because you're not witches,
anyway.
It's fine.
But yeah, that's all. Things, I thought I was.
We're trying.
The two things that will always strike me as how lucky am I is that not only have I gotten to work very intimately with these two particular composers who like, I know them, I could contact them at any time and they would contact me back and whatever are Stephen Schwartz who wrote For Good. Even after writing all those other things that I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And John Kander, who wrote New York, New York. There is barely a more famous vamp than bum, bum, ba, da, da. You can go anywhere. I did a symphony concert. I did a symphony concert in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Because apparently they too want to hear Defying Gravity. And, in that concert, they did. And in that concert, I also sang a song called Ring Them Bells. That's by Kander and Ebb. And I was saying to the audience, I didn't know how anything was going to go over because of like, you know, language and whatever. But I said to them, if you don't know these composers, you think you don't know them, you do. You do. You've heard their music. They wrote Chicago and Cabaret. And they also wrote a song that starts bum, bum, ba, da, ba. They all start clapping. They all start saying,
crazy.
And I know these people. That's amazing.
That's wild.
Me.
I know
it's amazing to me. And I happen to know for a fact that New York, New York got written in like 45 minutes.
All the good ones, it feels like it's a fever dream.
That's kind of
like
what
a download
said.
Coming from.
But that Stephen one day, you know, I don't know how long it took him to write Forget or not, but like at some juncture, he sat at a piano and he tooled around and he found these lyrics and he found this melody. And I don't know, maybe he was like, yeah, that'll work. That's good. I don't know. I have no idea. I've never asked him what that was like.
It did not take him long to write this one. That's all we know from our research.
He kind of put it off for a while.
His daughter helped him and Winnie helped him. And that's, it was
with For Good
quick,
or
though.
With
For Good?
For Good.
Oh,
for Good specifically.
Yeah,
he interviewed his daughter about what it would be like to lose her best friend. And he pulled directly from her, like a lot of
quotes. Oh, wow.
He got the title from Winnie.
And the titles from Winnie, yes. So that like got him, I think he felt like he had ground underneath him once he had those things.
Well, because there was a song called Making Good at one point.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, yes.
Oh, this is all so amazing. We could talk to you forever, but just to get us, we love this. Just before we go into a little bit of rapid fire, and then we have this beautiful conclusion from another witch to you. We have been framing this question. I think we're still finding our language because we know with a demanding role like Miss Elphaba Throp, there are good witch aspects of getting this role, and there's also bad witch aspects, like the things that are the challenges and the obstacles. What would you say is the number one good witch thing that you're taking, that you still hold to this day about Elphaba, and the stuff that is the bad witch stuff about Elphaba?
Well, in the moment, in the terms of doing it in the moment, I mean, I say this all the time, but it's because it's true, is the people. And it's just getting to go to work with those people, every one of them. I mean, from the spot op to the crew to a Glinda to a fourth monkey from the left, like everybody.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful building of people. I would say I guess it's true that the long lasting good witch is still the people. I mean, I am going to meet an elder witch for lunch when we are done. Am going to, see someone else from the original company next week, and we are going to see yet another person from the show in their show.
Aww, like, I love that.
And they're not necessarily people that I speak to on a daily basis at all.
Right.
Some of them are and some of them aren't, but is that kind of it? I think, like I said before, when you turn around and you go, oh, I'm so happy to see that person, that's a thrill. And the flip side of kind of what I said before, although the fandom can be rabid and a little overexcited.
We're trying to change that, Julia.
It is what it is.
We'll just keep taking a mic and say the opposite stuff. So,
but what's magical about it is that the people who were obsessed with it, those many years ago when I did it, they now have children. And they're like, hell or high water, you're going to love this show. I'm going to make you love this show.
Oh, yeah.
So they're all bringing their kids to see it again. And those kids will, you know, never know who
I am.
I mean, maybe they will because their parents will be like, this is the woman that we saw in 1918.
Yeah.
But there, that the health is the bad witch part. And that can mean physical or mental. It's just hard. It's just hard. And it's partially hard because the role is hard. It's partially hard because not just the singing, it's the screaming. It's the screaming Fiero and screaming about monkeys and screaming about that part makes it really hard. It's very physical. But then there's the mental corkscrew of wanting so much to get to do your show and to get to do it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're blessed enough to be in the position of getting to play the rock star role. But when you get blessed enough to be in the position and then your body is like, not tonight.
That's hard.
And you to be perfectly, you know, transparent, I had missed one show in my entire life. I had missed one show and then I did Wicked. And boy, did I miss more than one show.
Yeah.
And the cut that was to my pride, that was really hard. There are plenty of shows that I did that I probably shouldn't have. I mean, I got through them, but you know, people are paying money not to hear somebody like croak their way through the score. Right. Somewhat of a comfort to know or to discover that everyone feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
All the witches have gone through that. There were just so fewer of us then. So it wasn't as discussed. Somebody said to me once, someone who had understudied the part, and I was doing a reading with them, and she came up to me one day during a break. She goes, I've been told you're a bit of an Elphaba whisperer. You're a good person to speak to about the feelings.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll be that. Okay. I'll be that. And I have friends who will call me and be like, my friend just booked it. Can I hook you up with her? Would you? I've had lunch with
Auntie Elphaba.
You know, all. And I'm happy to do that. Also because, and I always lead with this, and I've done it so many times, I know certain things I want to say to them. But the first thing I always say is like, your experience is not going to be my experience.
Right.
It's impossible.
That's important, I think, to hear from someone.
Because I'm not coming in being like, it's going to ruin you. And like that, not at all. I just want to be like, there are certain weird things about this show that prey on you. Here's one. Yeah. And I'll say it. And I'll be like, so I'm telling you this. So when it comes up, it's not you. It's just the show. It's just like a weird Wicked thing. It's the way with Wicked. And that's that.
Yeah.
And so that's the hard part, because it's not, you think that in order that if you are lucky enough to find yourself in that position, that's so fun. And it is, but also there's a whole other element to it. That's
like
really hard.
Often is like
that's really really hard.
You could be doing everything right, and your body just needs a second.
And I didn't do. I went nowhere. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I did nothing.
That's the stories we hear.
But it's, and then every once in a while, someone comes along. Somebody comes along who seems like they have all the vocal health in the world, and like they ruin it for everybody. You're like, no.
Like Jessica Bosk. How dare you?
No.
I feel like Jessica Bosk might be one. No? Did she have a moment?
I mean, sure. Yes, of course. She had to call out mid-show.
I mean, that's the common
thing. I feel
like
it does that to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it does. But and understand. I mean, she's a good friend of mine. And that's why I know this. But like, because we were on the phone after it happened. But like.
You were the whisperer.
It happened way toward the end of her run. And you just get worn down, and you're somewhere in your brain knows the end is right over there. And so sometimes everything's like, gug.
Yeah, like we're almost
the
there.
The worst. I was told when I went
imagine.
In, oh, every Green Witch has had to call out mid-show. And I was like, what? Who?
Oh.
I judged it like a Judge Judy. I was like, I don't understand that. What are you talking about? How could you possibly start a show and not know that you can't finish it?
Well,
I found out.
Yes.
I found out in Cleveland. That's where I found out.
Yay, Cleveland. Thanks, Ohio, that learning lesson.
If you go on my Instagram of the pictures that I put up for the 20th, there is a picture of me that we took in Cleveland right after I called out mid-show because I was, and we had taken my wig off, but I'm, because if you cry when you're green, you have to lean forward and cry like over yourself because otherwise you streak.
Oh my gosh.
Look for the picture. It's good times.
I saw that.
Yeah. But I will say, the person who took that picture, I was in there and everyone was making sure I wasn't going to have a nervous breakdown. And then suddenly I went, wait, does someone have a camera? And he said, that's when I knew you'd be okay.
Yeah, I knew you'd
I
be
could
all
make
right.
a joke of it.
That you're
but
documenting. I'm laughing.
This.
But it's
Thank
devastating.
Thank you so much for sharing this. Yeah.
It's devastating. And, you know, full shout, honest. Full, beyond full shout out to the women who are just sitting in their rooms reading or crocheting or doing whatever. And over the loudspeaker, you hear, Lisa, we need you to come down. We got to get you green. Victoria, we got to come get you green. They're not warmed up.
I saw a reel from Emily Kristen Morris.
She
was a standby
on the tour.
And she was like posting what it's like to be a standby. And it was like a text from the stage manager that was just like, you're on. I was like, oh my gosh.
But I'm talking about
you're talking about like in the middle of
I am talking
show.
About in the middle of even, act one. They're doing like, popular on stage.
Yeah.
And you're getting called down to get green.
Yeah, that's a little bit more high stakes.
That's
crazy.
Wild.
And
they nail
wild.
It. They freaking nail it every time. So it's that brain is not my brain. That is a special
incredible.
Brain.
Yeah, I've never had to jump in. I've understudied a lot, but I've never had to go in mid-show for anybody. Yeah. And I wonder how that would feel.
Right.
Maybe one day.
Maybe
we'll
one
see.
Day.
We'll see.
Well, Julia, we have some rapid fire for you if you want to just answer So the first one is favorite pop culture witch other than Elphaba.
Oh gosh. Favorite pop culture witch. I mean, probably Samantha from Bewitched.
Yeah. Yes, good choice.
Yeah.
Okay. Elfie, you've maybe never met, or if you have met majority, maybe you'd love to work with anything with there. An Elfie you'd like a deeper connection with. Let's go with that.
Oh, gosh. I mean, there are so many now.
Yes.
I mean, anyone could come up to me on the street and be like, I was Elphaba. I'd be like, great. Hi. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
Honestly, the ones that I would want to work with or whatever, I know them. Like, and I have most of them gotten to work with them. And so I have no good answer. Now because even internationally, like, I've done concerts with Carrie Ellis. I've done concerts with, I've never done anything with Rachel Tucker, but I know her. But I've never done a thing with her. I've done concerts with Louise Dierman. I did a concert with Villamine. She doesn't know me really, but like,
the best.
So I've had exchanges, with them.
It's going to keep happening. Yeah. I love that.
That's great. Okay. I guess it'd be quick go-to advice to give to new green girls.
Your number one thing.
It's not you. It's the show.
Like, I love that.
That's good.
Like, it's okay. It's okay.
Yep.
Take care of yourself. If you have to call out, you have to call out. You might be able to do it, and not think you can, but like, you may be stronger than you think, and that's okay too. Like, go for it. But just know that your body gets tired, and sometimes your body needs to be the boss of you. And with great power comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
I love it. Magic. Okay. Two more for you. What magic do you desire to call into your next yellow brick road ahead in life?
Wow. That's a question. I'm about to go direct a show in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Come on.
Please come see it if anybody happens to be
there. We have people out there. Yeah. Yes, we do.
It's at Theater Raleigh. It's called 1940s Radio Hour. And it's from December 12th to the 24th. It's just a 2-week run.
That's so exciting.
I'm not in it. I'm just directing it.
Come on.
And I really like directing. I would like to do more of that. I would also, honestly, the only reason that I've ever wanted to be quote unquote famous was because I recognize the usefulness of it. You look at both Adina and Kristen, for example, have amazing charities where they work with young people.
Yeah.
And they've been doing them for years. They both have these camps that they do.
Yes.
And they can do them and they can get those kids there and they can change those kids' lives because they are who they are.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't desire to be famous like a Kardashian.
I hear you.
But I would love it would have to be a very high profile Broadway show or like a TV show, something where I could garner more cachet so I could do more good.
Mm. Making good.
I love
like
that.
We're calling it in for you.
All right, last rapid fire. How would you define being a good witch for yourself?
Oh. The first thing that came into my head was eat the cookie dough when you want it. Honestly, that was the first thing that just came into my head.
Embroider that on a pillow.
It's so funny, like the whole notion, it's so in vogue now, like self-care and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And when people started using that phrase, I was a little bit like, so are we just talking about like a massage? Is that what we're talking about? But it's not. It's a much bigger thing. And I think it's things like, what can you do to try to ensure your happiness? And you can't always, but you can try. And if you happen to be in the position of for example, I'm leaving in about 2 weeks to go down to Raleigh, and you can trust and believe that this weekend I'm putting my Christmas tree up. It's a fake tree. It gives me great joy. The light makes me feel good. And we're losing that hour of sunlight this weekend.
Yeah, that's coming.
And I'm like, you know what? I do not care. If you look up at my window and see a Christmas tree on, like, you know, Monday or Tuesday and go, what is up with that woman? Like,
no, the time has come.
It's giving me joy. If it's going to give you joy and it's not going to hurt anyone else, then don't ignore it. Embrace it.
Go for it.
And
I love that.
Try to ensure your happiness, because no matter what you do, drama is coming down the road. It's always going to come down the road. It's going to tap you on the shoulder and be like, hey, I have some bad news. It's always coming.
Yeah.
So if I can try and ensure my own happy place to better try and manage when drama comes and not taps me on the shoulder. Is that an answer?
Julia.
Yeah. So good.
So good.
I have cookie dough in the fridge. So
At the top of my, I told both Em and Julia this at the top of this, I got dental work, pretty awful dental work done yesterday. And I was making fun of the Christmas music they were blasting at the beginning. So I was like, oh my God, it's November 1st. And at the end, I was like, it got me through the pain. Please help me out. So Christmas is good all the time.
For the soul.
Okay. Well, Julia, before we leave you, let you go out into the world and meet the Elder Witches.
Meet the Elder Witches.
We have some love from some former witches we've had on. You have been, and this is not with us instigating any of it. Jen Wallman was like, Julia Murney is an actor. Like, just could not talk more passionately about what you did on that stage, what you gave her to work with as Nessa Rose, and we got to talk with her. Lindsay Heather Pierce said that you reached out to her when she was going through a tough time and that really helped her. And then we asked Jenny DeNoia specifically, because she's the last witch we talked to. We're like, Julia's going to be our next witch. So at the end, you know, I won't even tell you what it is. You're just going to have to give it a little listen at the very end of her episode. She speaks directly to you. And it's really, really beautiful, because you, and just from what we got from that, is like, you feel like a good witch of the Wicked Company.
Yeah.
There's like a caretaking energy you bring to it. And that's why we think this show also is running so long. If this was the vile, competitive, cutthroat nature that like anything could always become, I don't think it would be here for 20 years. I think this does contribute to the 20 years and should be talked about more, because sisterhood, I think, could change the world in so many ways. And that's what we get to see, I think, in Wicked. So we did not get to ask this sweet woman. I think you know her, Christina Bianco.
Yes.
Yes. Yay. She was our first good witch.
I just saw her when I was in London.
Amazing. You would like to give her some,
it was her last performance of The Wizard of Oz, and I wasn't able to go.
She looked outrageous. Oh,
wow. Yeah, she looked amazing.
I mean, she's
a hoot,
or her own brand of like magic. Yes. Anything you'd like to share with Christina and her?
We'll pass it along.
Christina Bianco, you know this. She knows this. She several years ago, she was in Paris playing Fanny Bryce in Funny Girl. And it was December of 2019. And I was in France, and then I was going to be in Paris with some friends for like two nights. It was really fast. And I knew Christina, and we had had like random lunch in Scotland, because we were both at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and stuff.
Love that.
But
I wasn't planning on seeing Funny Girl or anything like that, because I just didn't have the time. And so I didn't say, and then she had seen that I was in France. And said on Instagram or something, oh my God, come to Paris. Turns out, long story, but I ended up in Paris two nights early because of a transit strike. And my friends weren't there yet. And I had nowhere to stay. And I was like, I guess I'll find a hotel. You know what? I'm going to try. This seems rude, but I'm going to try. And I wrote to Christina. She let me stay in her flat with her.
Wow.
We got to walk around Paris at Christmas time, which is, as you can imagine, as magic as can be. And then I'm going to cry.
Oh.
I got to see her play Fanny Bryce,
which we heard was out of this world.
She was so good, you guys.
Wow.
And it was one of those things. Oh my God, I'm such a fool. I was going to miss this.
And it would have been okay. That's how we get. Yeah. That's how we get.
It would have been okay if I missed it.
Yeah, yeah.
But to see her get to, you know, I had only ever seen her do the thing that's made her her name.
Yeah, who she is. Yeah.
Which she's so good at and so gifted at. But to see her play a character that's not that, and to nail it to the wall in this beautiful theater in Paris, it was so, it was like this weird present of 2 days that she and I got to be together. And that's how we bonded. And I love her.
Whoa, didn't see that.
That's
coming.
Beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Close the circle for us.
Y'all, the Oz witches out there in the world are magical humans, not only on stage, but in the real life. And I think this is something we've said a couple times off. Like, so many people are having Sunday brunch right now because they met somewhere in Oz. And I think that is a crazy thing. Like, it's
that's
just
true.
A part,
and that's an amazing thing. That's a very.
It's like something that brings people together.
It is an extraordinary byproduct
of
this show that, you know, when I was up for it originally, I definitely thought it was special. But I was also predisposed because, as we've already discussed, I loved the novel. I loved the source material. But the feeling of, like, you don't know. Of course, every show that is written, you hope is a hit. Of course, that's what they hope for. You don't know that a show like is going to become a juggernaut and run for 20. It's bananas that anything would run for 5 years, let alone 20, with no signs of slowing down.
Right.
And it has engendered this entire, what you just said, like this whole other world of fandom. And it seems to me, I mean, a true like fellowship.
Yeah.
Of people having brunch and people making podcasts and people like, and I thought to myself all this past week on Instagram, I am sure that people following me or anyone else involved with Wicked was like, yeah, I get it. You were in Wicked. Stop putting up pictures.
Give us more.
It was a bit of an inundation, but I think
it definitely was.
It was so fun. We loved it.
I have to say, it was just like I was going back, like basically through my yearbook, and going, "Oh, this picture's fun. Oh, this picture's fun." And then I would find something else and want to share it or whatever. But the truth of it is, it's just it is there, and it is a honor. Seems like a chintzy word to use, but I don't know a better word for it. The honor of being part of something, and frankly, regardless of when you do it, but the honor of being part of it for so long, for having been a part of it way back, is as I have said to some former Green Girls in the past, did this show make you feel feelings that weren't great? Yes, it did. Did it make me feel? Yes, it did. You know what they cannot take from you? You know what none of that can take from you is when that person walks up to you and goes, you were my first Elphaba.
Yeah.
That is a thing.
Yeah.
And you did that. You gave that to them. And I would say that to any, to the second understudy, to the first understudy, to the standby, to the contract. If you've gone on, if you have played this part, even once, you were somebody's first Elphaba. And you did that.
So beautiful.
And all those tricky feelings about it, don't erase that fact. That is a fact. The tricky feelings are, you know, another thing. But that's a fact.
Wow.
Well, I love that you use the word honor, because it's really been an honor to chat with you, Julia. Thank you so much for your time.
You.
Thanks for being a part of our Down the YBP community. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And we wish you
pleasure.
All the magic on your yellow brick road, the next one
thank
coming
you.
Up.
Thank you. And I wish you the same.
Thank you.
MK, do you know our girl, the Patchwork Girl, has inspired people to become quilters?
Oh, my heart.
like Mary Ellen at Starry Home Crafts on Etsy, who makes handmade artisan dolls, holiday stockings, shower curtains, quilts, and more from the comfort of her home to yours. Happy to customize orders for that extra personal touch. Mary Ellen also makes a doll of our girl Scraps that will melt your heart, featured in our 2022 giveaway that I almost couldn't part with.
Starry Home Crafts Patchwork Girl is the perfect friend to brighten up your Oz collection or befriend your Raggedy Ann or Andy. Warning, if you do have any scarecrows, she's bound to fall in love, so be prepared.
Visit Starry Home Crafts for your very own Patchwork Girl today and more rag, cloth dolls, can cozies, embroideries, shawls, scarves, you name it. Link in show notes.
Thank you so much for listening to Down the Yellow Brick Pod. We love linking arms with listeners like you.
Another special thank you to our Patreon Pod Squad members who have become our Bellina soup for the soul. Do you get it? And Oz family all across the globe. Consider joining us for as low as $3 a month. Patreon linked in show notes. More tiers and perks coming soon.
You can also find us over on IG at Down the Yellow Brick Pod. And someday... TikTok, and dropping Good Trouble Witch merch like it's hot on our Etsy shop. All links below. Shout out to our logo designer, Maddie Frank, for helping us make Oz nerddom fashion.
We'd like to dedicate this season to the late great co-host Drew of the neighboring podcast of Slippers and Spindles, whose fairy tale enthusiasm always inspired ours. Blessed to have connected on Oz and Wicked and to have known you, Drew.
And lastly, if you are feeling the pod and haven't already, consider leaving us an Apple review. It truly makes our day. Each review also equals an entry into our big blowout end of the season giveaway. You won't want to miss this one, which will be completely swankified.
As always, all previous reviews will also be considered in our entries. We got you, boo.
See you over the rainbow soon.
In a clock tick.